My heart is just like what I've challenged you, challenging you to be great, and I'm challenging those of you that are already great to be even greater. How can I be greater in my service? And to be in Christ, this is what it means simply. What's true of Christ is true of you. But here's the great news for you and I. God turned his back on Jesus so he would never have to turn his back on you. He loves you with an everlasting love, and despite whatever you can be faced with, God says, I'm right here with you, and I will see you through if you trust me. Because it's not about principles and rituals and routines. It's about relationship and life with the King. Jesus, who you all killed, is Lord and Messiah, and y'all need to repent. Not, watch this, not say I'm sorry, but to turn from your thinking. Come embrace him. We don't start to come into a place of clarity until we start with the fear of God. Your children, your family, the church, the community, learn about God's love for them through how you love your spouse. And to some degree, we got to take responsibility for the message of God's love not being that clear.
We are so glad to have you with us on this podcast today. You no longer need to fight against the wind, but allow the wind, the breath of God at your back, to propel you forward in 2019. When you finish listening, we hope you'll take a minute and write a review. Your encouragement will be a help to others. Enjoy the message.
So today we have an amazing opportunity, because all of us desire to see our families grow stronger together, closer together, but you have to seize that opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So in talking about, you know, being able to strengthen our marriages, of course, we're just going to use the same point that we presented last week. And that is, when the purpose of a thing is not understood, abuse is inevitable. And we end up missing our opportunity when we don't understand the purpose of what we're embarking in and why we're even together. And so that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the word of God for him to show us what the purpose of marriage is. And as we do that, we're going to seize the opportunity to allow him to strengthen our marriages, strengthen our relationships, and strengthen us so that we can be better for those that we are connected to.
Mm-hmm. So Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians 5, 22 through 26. It says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty.
That's good. That's good.
Amen. And, you know, a lot of times, especially in our society today, the word submission is kind of looked at as a bad word. It's the S word. Mm-hmm. But when we look at it in light of the word of God, and we understand that Christ died for the church, and marriage is a type or a representation of God's love or God in Christ's relationship with the church. So instead of looking at submission as a bad word, if you look at it from the standpoint as this person who has given their life for me, this person who has committed to sacrifice maybe their own goals, maybe their own desires that may just be self-serving for the betterment of my family, it has a different connotation. It's not the connotation of we're submitting to be ruled and domineered, but we're submitting as a leader is leading us. And as that leader is leading us, he's leading us with a servant leadership. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily, okay, do what I say, you know, you have to follow my rules, but it's I lay my life down for you in hopes that you will receive my love for you. That's the love that a husband should have for his wife.
Here in Ephesians chapter 5 is really the most comprehensive information you have in Scripture about the roles of a husband and a wife. If you really want to understand what marriage is about, this is probably the best place in Scripture to go to. And you see that the Spirit of God, as Paul is speaking, by, says that the husband is a representative of Christ and the wife is a representative of the church. So it kind of uses this bit of an analogy to help us understand the roles and the functionality of marriage. And then as we read further, he even kind of explains the purpose behind this. So you'll see it here, the latter part of chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. It says, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. How many? United into one. So you're one in name, you're one in aim, you're one in purpose, you're one in spirit, you're one in bank accounts. Well, I guess I lost some people on the last one. You're one in every aspect. There is no his and hers. It's all ours. Come on, 8:30, say amen.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
And the union of marriage is all about marching towards greater oneness. So the more you're together, the greater you should be one. So when you start off, there are some areas that, okay, this person has this over here, this person has this over there. But the more we're together, the more everything merges so that when I see him, I see her. We're going in the same direction. We're saying the same thing. We have the same vision. We have the same goal. And everybody in the household understands. I don't say something different from him to my kids. He doesn't say something different to the kids either. We're a united front in every front, not just with the children, but with our family, with our thinking about our future, wherever it has to go. We're all marching towards becoming more and more one with each other.
Mm-hmm. And a spirit of Antichrist is always working against God's ordained definition for marriage. So always endeavoring to kind of influence and give us impetus to divide, to separate, to not be one. Be like, I'll be one a little bit, but where this is concerned, that's mine. There is no such thing. None whatsoever. We are all one together. And you have to resist the demonic influence, because it's what it is, that tries to encourage you and me to be individuals when you're married. That left. The two became one. There's no point in time in God's mindset after you said I do that it's now just you. Even when you're talking to God by yourself, God still sees you and him, or you and her. You're one. Always. And as what you heard Pastor Ron sharing, that means we ought to be saying the same thing. We ought to have the same focus. We're running in the same direction. We'll get to some of that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says this. Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory, that the man should be alone. Gentlemen, here's the reality. If we'd have been left to ourselves, we'd have jacked stuff up. As a matter of fact, even once we got some help, we jacked stuff up. That's just the truth of history. God looks at the situation, and you have to understand how really significant this is, because in Genesis chapter 1, God goes through creating things every particular day, and after every day, he's like, this is good. Oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. And at the end of it, he's like, oh, this is very good. And then he looks at the man by himself. He said, that ain't good. That's not good. He says, it's not good that this man should be alone. I will make him a helper, a helper meet. This word meet again means suitable, adaptable, complementary, pliable, that fits for him. You have to understand that Adam was the one. He's responsible for naming all the animals and so forth. And he sees, this male, male lion, and there's a female. I mean, he sees all these counterparts, but for him, there was none. And God says, you know what? It's not right that he doesn't have an appropriate counterpart. Now, let's be clear. Notice he did not build him another Adam. Come on, let's just be clear. He did not build him another animal, and he certainly did not pair him another Adam, and he certainly didn't pair him with an animal. That helpmeet was a woman that we illustrated on last week about how God brings her in, and it's God's presence that has to be the biggest thing that's there. But the interesting thing that you always have to ask yourself is that when God looks at this and says, this is not good, I'm creating him a help that's meet for him. The question you have to ask yourself is, help for what? Help for what? Because again, this all goes, you know, to the sense of purpose. Help for what? Well, Adam had an assignment before the woman, Eve, was created. Adam had an assignment now to take care of the garden, to really now to extend and expand that garden across, you know, the globe. He had a vision from God. And God looks at him and says, by yourself, yeah, you could probably get it done, but there could be a lot of collateral damage. So that's not good. I need to, you know, create someone that fits you so that she can help you fulfill the vision. So when you understand that, you understand that, wait a minute, God's initial design and reason for the marriage union was so that his vision could be accomplished in the earth. Not for romance, companionship, or sex. Now, thank God for romance, companionship, and sex. Can the church say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
But that's not the purpose behind marriage. From these passages of scripture, if you really look at them closely, you see what I really refer to kind of as a threefold purpose, you know, for marriage. One is to reflect God's love to humanity. Because this husband represents Christ to the church. So God says here, every time you see a marriage, you're really supposed to get a picture of my love for humanity. The way this husband is treating his wife should now be a witness to me. But then watch this. Then we also should get a witness of the, let's put it in these terms, humanity's intimacy with God. Because the way now this wife responds to her husband, again, is a testimony of how the church responds to Christ, how humanity is supposed to respond to God. And therefore, everyone should be able to understand, just by looking at a marriage, God's love and plan for humanity. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves, and this is where we have to be real. You know, when God looks at our union, or no, I shouldn't say God. When people look at our union, do they see God in this? Do they gain greater revelation and clarity about God's love and purpose for their lives? Because that becomes the purpose, a twofold purpose. And then the third is what we already talked about, and then to fulfill these two together, to fulfill God's dream in the earth. Fulfill God's dream for humanity. So yes, everyone should see and get a picture of God's amazing love for humanity. Everyone should gain an understanding about humanity's intimacy with God. And everyone should see that, wait a minute, the purpose now behind marriage too is so that God's dream, not our dream, God's dream and vision can be accomplished in the earth. Now thank you. Thank God for the companionship and the romance. All of that's good and helps to allow us to function better together so that we can fulfill the purpose. But just simply being together is not the end all be all. You know, it's not. This is good. Come on, you get in on this with me. It's not my responsibility to make her happy.
Thank you for listening to Impact of South Florida's podcast as we continue to help others know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Please subscribe to receive alerts for new messages. You can also visit us online at www.icsofl.com. Until next time, God bless.